Welcome to this ASN Kidney 360 podcast. I am Bartha Elias, Research Assistant Professor at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. I am joined by my co-authors, Dr. Craig Brooks, Assistant Professor, and Kensei Taguchi, a postdoc at VUMC. Today, we will discuss our article entitled Quantitative Super-Resolution Microscopy Reveals Promoting Mitochondrial Interconnectivity Protects Against AKI, published in Kidney 360 this December. My co-authors will be answering a few questions. What are the key features of super-resolution microscopy that distinguish it from more traditional confocal microscopy?
Light microscopy has a resolution limit of one-half of the wavelength of the light source, or around 200 nanometers. In other words, objects less than 200 nanometers apart will look like a single object by traditional microscopy. Super-resolution microscopy refers to a number of techniques that have been developed to overcome this resolution limit. Depending on the system used, the limit can be reduced to 100 nanometers or even down to 10 nanometers. In our Kidney 360 study, we used structured illumination microscopy, which approximately doubles the resolving power to about 100 nanometers.
What was the inspiration to use super-resolution microscopy to follow mitochondria and more specifically apply this approach to investigate acute kidney injury?
I first became interested in mitochondria during graduate school, where we initially published mitochondrial fragmentation in AKI. Translating these findings to animal models or human samples involved labor-intensive techniques such as taking hundreds of images by electron microscopy and tracing the mitochondria by hand. When I tried super-resolution imaging for a different project, I realized it had the capability of resolving mitochondria or other organelles in the kidney like never before. And this technique could be used to answer long-standing questions I had about the 3D morphology of mitochondria in vivo.
Your work is quite exciting for our basic scientists interested in microscopy and AKI. Why should the average clinical nephrologist be hopeful or even excited about your work and your results?
To test if super-resolution microscopy would be relevant in the clinic, we analyzed kidney biopsies from AKI patients. We found that patients with no tubular injury had interconnected mitochondrial networks, whereas patients with tubular injury had disrupted and fragmented mitochondria. For clinical scientists, I think this technique would be especially exciting because now they can observe changes at the subcellular level in human kidney tissue and multiplex the analysis with multiple markers. This will allow scientists to test hypotheses in human samples that could only be analyzed in tissue culture studies previously.
What was the most unexpected result from your studies of AKI in mouse and human kidneys?
I would say that kidney tubule cells mitochondria form one large network. While we expected the mitochondria to be more interconnected than previously shown, the size and complexity of these networks was surprising.
Why does interconnectivity of mitochondria protect against AKI?
There are two basic reasons why network mitochondria are protective. First, network mitochondria are healthier and produce more ATP. Second, mitochondria are a main contributor to cell death pathways in AKI through the release of calcium or proapoptotic proteins. Networked mitochondria are more resistant to the release of these pro-death factors.
Is this an endogenous property of healthy mitochondria?
Yes, mitochondria in kidney tubule cells of healthy mice or human samples were highly interconnected. This is not necessarily the case for all cell types, though. Podocytes, for instance, have mitochondria throughout the cell body and processes that are not connected. This means that we and others will have to carefully document mitochondrial morphology in different kidney cells to understand how the morphology changes in disease states.
Do your studies indicate the opposite, that is, AKI causes or can cause loss of mitochondrial interconnections?
Yes, AKI, or more precisely, tubule cell injury, results in a dramatic breakdown of the mitochondrial network. This occurs early, within 30 minutes of ischemic injury, for instance. When we reverse the mitochondrial fragmentation with a compound that promotes mitochondrial fusion, it protected against AKI in mice.
Why is super-resolution microscopy needed to quantitatively follow these changes?
Kidney tubular cells have one of the highest mitochondrial contents of any cell, at approximately 30% of the cell volume. The mitochondria are packed so tightly in the cells that they are within 200 nanometer limit that we discussed earlier, and can't be separated by traditional microscopy. By using structured illumination microscopy, we could achieve approximately 100 nanometer resolving power, enough to distinguish these smaller yet critically important changes.
For the clinician and clinical laboratory folks interested in documenting and minimizing damage due to AKI, do you see that similar analyses using super-resolution microscopy may be diagnostically important in the future?
We feel super-resolution imaging could complement traditional pathology techniques. Preparing samples for super-resolution imaging using structured illumination microscopy is much quicker and easier than preparing samples from EM. Also, much of the image acquisition and analysis can be automated. For instance, other studies have shown super-resolution imaging can be used to quantify food process effacement using automated software. So, adding super-resolution imaging to biopsy analysis could provide a more complete workup of the patient's condition and speed up diagnosis in certain settings. In the future, you'd like to determine if mitochondrial changes can predict disease progression. For instance, does the mitochondrial morphology at the time of transplant predict the likelihood of success?
We believe that super-resolution imaging will be a powerful tool to shape our understanding of how changes at the subcellular level can lead to organ dysfunction. We also wanted to point out that while super-resolution microscopy is leading edge, recent advances have made it more accessible for both basic science and clinical laboratories. In our paper, we demonstrate that free software-based approaches can be used to double the resolution of traditional microscopes and image mitochondria. Thank you for joining us for this Kidney 360 podcast.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions about any medical condition, or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.